Welcome to Hold Fast, the radio broadcast of Christ Fellowship Bible Church. Stay tuned for some announcements, some singing, and some preaching from God's Word. Good morning and welcome to Hold Fast, the radio broadcast of Christ Fellowship Bible Church. My name is Steve Willing and I am the pastor of Christ Fellowship Bible Church here in Marion Station. I'd like to welcome all of you to our program this morning. It's good to have you all back. I appreciate each of you that stop me during my weekly activities and tell me you're listening to the program. I appreciate Mark and Diane Bradshaw as they listen each week. I thank the Lord for them. And again, all of you that just take these few moments to tune in, appreciate it very, very much. Hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving as we've come out of our time of giving thanks to the Lord, that day that is set aside to give thanks to God for his many blessings to us individually, as well as our families and our country as a whole. We thank God so very, very much for all that he has blessed us with, and we never want to take that for granted. We always want to be giving thanks to God each and every day for that, of all that he has done for us. Again, my name's Steve Willing. I'm pastor here at Christ Fellowship Bible Church, and our Sunday mornings begin with our worship service at 10 o'clock, and we'd love to have you join us. As you come through the door, you'll be greeted warmly. The guys there that greet folks as they come in, they'll give you any directions you need, any questions you have. They'll answer those for you. But we'd love to have you come out this morning. Again, we start at 10 o'clock. This evening, we'll be back for our evening worship service. That starts at 6. So if you already have a home church and you attend regular there, that's wonderful. But if you want to come out with us this evening, come on out. We usually do a lot of older songs. We do pick your favorite kind of things. We sing different songs, so maybe you haven't heard one in a while, and you'd say, hey, can we sing this one? And we'll try to accommodate that, and then we'll pray together and have a time of preaching the Word. So you're welcome to join us tonight, 6 o'clock here at the church. Then we have our Tuesday evening Bible study, and that starts at 6:30 each and every Tuesday. We'd love to have you come out for that. We've been studying the book of Ruth, so we'll be back this week one more time. And that's very casual. Come as you are. Just bring your Bible and bring a pen, pencil, some paper. If you forget that, we can set you up with that too. But we start that at 6:30. Also, keep in mind that we do stream our services online, and you can go to our webpage, which is cfbc413.org. That's cfbc413.org, and you can check us out there. We've got our YouTube channel, our Facebook channel, our podcast page, fireside.fm. We've got everything right there at your fingertips, so you can go right there on with at the specific time, and it'll get you right where you need to be. So with that, and I better bring up you up to date, because we're coming into Advent season. Next week is first Sunday of Advent, and we've got our Christmas Eve service that is coming up. So this year, Christmas Eve falls on Sunday, and we will be having that. We'll be starting at 6:30 for our Christmas Eve service. So it's late enough that you could have dinner, but still early enough to have the rest of the evening with family. So keep that in mind. That's our annual communion and candlelight service. So come on out and join us for Christmas Eve. I know it's a way off, but friends, it'll be here for you know it, way time flies. But with all that, I've got a song picked out here, and why that song is playing, why don't you grab your Bible? This week, we were going to drop away from that of Joshua for a while as we come into Advent, so we'll be doing a lot of Christmas messages here. But this week, I want to start off speaking about the preparing in Advent, so kind of preparing for the Advent, which is Advent is exactly that. It's that preparing for, waiting for that of the Advent, the coming of that of Christ. So grab your Bible, listen to the song, and I'll be back just in a few moments.
I know that I'm not worthy to call upon your name. All my life I've been a sinner, and for that I am ashamed. But I heard that you would listen, so I'm giving you my plea. I'm too unworthy, Lord, to come to you. Would you please come down to me? Know that there are others who could offer more than I promise you I'd understand if for me you had no time. Think I've hit rock bottom and I'm looking up to see. Too unworthy, Lord, to come to you. Could you please come down to me? Yes, I must be reaping from the seeds that I have sown. Lord, you know me nothing. Haven't spoken for so long. You could spare some mercy, I'd pledge my life to thee. Too unworthy, Lord, to come to you. Would you please come down to me? Know that there are offer more than I promise you I'd understand if for me you had no time. Think I've hit rock bottom and I'm looking up to see. Too unworthy, Lord. Could you please come down to me? Think I've hit rock bottom and I'm looking up to see. I'm too unworthy, Lord, to come to you. Could you please come down to me? Come down to me.
And that was Corky Dyes singing for us a song called Would You Please Come Down to Me? And that's a very clear presentation of the gospel, because we know that if the Lord Jesus Christ does not come to us, we cannot approach him. We have no hope whatsoever, but we do know that the Lord came down to us. He came down to us in the likeness of man, that he may take upon that of the sin of the world upon himself, that living and dying and rising again, that you and I have eternal life in his name. I turn our attention now to the third chapter of Matthew. So we're going to make a big jump from this week to next week when we start talking about that of the person of Jesus Christ. So I want to begin with, when we talk about Advent beginning next week, and Advent is that of the coming. So we speak about the first coming of Jesus Christ, which was at that again of his incarnation when he was that baby that was born in the manger. And people then were waiting for that of the Christ. We know that that was a time when we speak about the culture itself, the expectation of the Jews for the coming of the Lord, because there were many prophecies that were written, the timeline was set. There would be many different ones who would rise up and call themselves the Christ. But we know that there was only one Messiah. There was only one true Messiah, and he made that very clear when upon his arrival. Now, so next week we'll be going back more to the traditional Christmas accounts of that of the birth of Christ. But this week we're jumping ahead and we're looking at when that of John the Baptist was preparing the way for that of Christ to come, meaning when the ministry of that baby that was born in that manger, when that ministry of the Christ would take place, which was approximately about 30 years later. The Bible tells us in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now, the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." So we have this account of John the Baptist, who would be a cousin to Jesus. We know that John and Jesus were born about the same time. John was born just a little bit of time ahead of him. But John was anointed with the Holy Spirit right from his, basically at conception. John was one that had been appointed by God to prepare the way for the coming of his son. And that's what we see with John, because John himself, when he was confronted by the religious elites or powers to be of that day, they would come to John and they would ask him, and the people would ask, "Are you the one to come?" Because they even thought that John the Baptist would be the Christ, because of John's fiery disposition, in the sense of how he would just call people to the floor on how they were living, that they needed to get right with God. So people initially were thinking that John was that of, or possibly could be that of, the Christ. But John would himself acknowledge that he was not the Christ. And they would say, "Well, who are you then?" And then John would quote, just as we have here from Matthew, John would quote that he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. So John was that of the messenger to come. He would, as we would note in the Gospel of John, that he would come as one bearing witness to the light. He would come to prepare people's hearts for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he would baptize them. He would baptize them that people would come, confess their sin, because he was heavy upon them about living rightly, that if you are truly people of faith, then you're going to live in a way that is honoring of God. And for those that would sin, they would come and they would be baptized for remission of sin. And then we would see that the Pharisees and Sadducees, and that's kind of the religious elite in Judaism for that period, that they would come and they would question John about that, of who he was and kind of, you know, what kind of authority does he have to be doing this. They didn't say too much because the people thought that, yes, John was at least a prophet, at the very least, and that he could be that of the Messiah. So they kind of kept it toned down with John a little bit as we read other Gospels. But noted that when John would see them, he didn't mince his words whatsoever with them. Noted that when they would come down to the Jordan, where he was baptizing, listen to what he said. He said, brood of vipers, who warned you from the wrath to come? So he looked at them as just a bunch of snakes. And as we see the lives that they were living, even though they were supposed to be religious, even though that they were supposed to be God's people that would lead his people, we noted that that was not the case at all. And John would call them. He was pretty fearless when it come to that of his preaching. And he said, you know, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. So he calls them. So he's looking, and there is a certain, he does love them. He doesn't want to see them perish either, even though he knows that there is certainly a disconnect between them and God, that they are just a mess morally and certainly spiritually. So John is clear, and he tells them, bear fruits worthy of repentance, meaning repent of your sin, and as you repent of your sin, don't go back to your sin. Bear the fruit of that of repentance, that you, if you have repented, bear that fruit. If you have turned yourself over to God, then bear that fruit. Bear that fruit of righteousness in your life. And then he would call them on the question, because some of these folks didn't even think they were sinners, that they had really, as the sons of Abraham, that they were above and beyond because of, again, their connection, should we say, through a bloodline to Abraham, and plus because of their position. He would say, and do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father, for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones, because that would be their excuse, that we are Abraham's children. You know, God's hand is on us. We don't have to worry about that. But no, we understand that, and just as John would say, that the axe is already laid to the root of the tree, so you need to get yourself right. That's what we see. So John himself, he calls out to everyone that he is not the Christ. He is not the one who brings about salvation. He is not the one, even though he could have, if he let his pride and ego get to him, he could have kind of led some kind of some kind of grand rebellion and following. But see, he was faithful to God. He knew that wasn't his call. His call in life was to prepare the way for Christ to come. And in preparing the way for that first advent, because we had the first advent, which John would prepare for, and you and I today wait for the second advent, the second coming of Christ. That's what we wait for. And in both terms, in both, make more simple, in both times, that we know that there was a preparation, a readying of ourselves. John called these people because he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Get ready, for he is coming." And that whole phraseology that we see there, it means that, like, when a king would come into a new land, that he would have a group that would go before him, and they would make all the roads, they would clear all the stones off the road, they would fill in any potholes, what we would call them today, and they would make sure that it was a smooth journey for the king as he would come. John here is calling these people to get ready, prepare this way for the king to come. Because it is a spiritual kingdom, friends, that we are looking to bring about. And when we speak about the millennial kingdom that will come, it is also a literal kingdom. But initially, Christ was bringing in that of the changing of people's hearts. We all need a heart change. We all need to be born again. And that was the premise behind what we see Jesus continuing to speak about. Matter of fact, when we talk about some of the first interaction he has with some of the religious leaders, especially a fellow by the name of Nicodemus, that he tells him, he said, you must be born again. You must have a change of heart. You must be born from above. So, noted with John, that John is looking to get the people ready for that of Christ, to be able to receive what Christ would bring. And the only way, friends, when we talk about the scope of preparing for that of the king to come, we see that one of the initial steps is to be repentant of our sin. And that's what John was calling people to. Turn from your sin. That was the call, right? For it says that he went preaching in the wilderness, and he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It's right here. It's right among us. We're right here on the preface of it. Get ready. And how did John tell those people to get ready for the coming? To repent. Now, what is repentance? Well, I want to be clear that today when we speak about repentance, because I ask this question a lot in Bible studies and elsewhere, what is repentance? What does repentance mean? And people have many different ideas, and generally they are pretty close to the scope of what it is, because some people say, well, it's being sorry for what you did, being sorry for your sin. Well, yeah, that is certainly a part of it. That is a part of that of repentance. There should be a genuine sense of this feeling of remorse that we have for what we have done. You know, the things we've said, thought, done, all that. So there is a genuine sense of remorse that we would have because of the sins of which we've committed. But when we think about true repentance, there is that feeling of which we have, of conviction that what we have done is wrong. But repentance also, it means literally to turn away from. That's what repent means, to turn away from. So not only do we have this genuine remorse, but we also have that of the actual action is, I'm going to turn away from my sin. I'm no longer going to engage in it. People say they're sorry for things all the time, but they never do turn away from it. They engage right back in it. It's like, as I use this illustration, it's like the kid getting his hand caught in the cookie jar. You know, mommy says, no, don't eat no cookies before dinner, but the little kid decides he's going to get in there and get some anyway. And what's he really sorry for? Is he really sorry because he didn't do what mommy said, or is he sorry he got caught? And many times what we see today is a lot of people just are sorry they got caught. And there's no genuine repentance. It's no, I broke the law of mom, and I should be sorry for that. But oftentimes we find ourselves just being sorry because we got caught. But genuine repentance is that of realizing that we've broken the supreme law of God, and that there is the turning from that sin, that we're not looking to do that anymore. We're going to do a 180 and go away from it. We'll do the opposite of what that is. And that means generally just keeping the law of God, not breaking the law of God, but keeping the law of God, doing what is right, doing what is truthful and honest. Those things, those are the things of which we would look to do. So repentance, again, it is something that God himself, when we come into the New Testament, that we see that God, when we repent of our sin, God gives us a new heart. He gives us a desire to follow after him. It's not that we will be perfect all of our days. That's a process of progressive sanctification that happens in every true believer. But noted that God will give us a new heart. He speaks about that in the book of Ezekiel, that there's coming a time he's going to make a new covenant with them. He's going to give us a new heart. He's going to take the heart of stone that we had, which was hardened against his law, and he's going to give us a new heart that truly is sorrowful for sin and longs to, for as me as a believer, the longing is to get away from sin, to not be committing sin. So John himself, he's preparing the people to come, to get ready to come to repentance, turn from your sin. And at the coming of Christ, then their hearts would be really prepared to receive the message of what Christ would bring to them, that Christ would be able to teach them and show them the way of which they should walk this earth and how they truly can honor God. And see, that happens for us today. That the call, when we speak about what went on with John, the call remains the same. The call, just as Jesus began his ministry, would be repent and be baptized. And we know with Peter, when he started his ministry, after that of the ascension of Christ back into heaven, the same thing. Repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The call remains the same. The preparation remains the same. And today, we're waiting for the second advent. We're waiting for Christ to come and retrieve us now. And the call is the same. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Our redemption is closer today than it ever has been. And we want to be ready. And how do we be ready? Well, for you today, the first step, as I've already noted, friends, is to recognize the sin in your life. To note that Christ has died for you, and that you turn away from your sin, and you ask God for the forgiveness of your sin, and you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. See, that's preparing for that of the coming of the Lord. Because, just as John noted, there is a wrath to come. And he said, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Noted that John was there warning the people, preparing them for Christ. And today the message remains the same. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ today. Find salvation in him. And I have found that the Lord, as he says in his word, those that come to him, he will by no means cast out. Look to Jesus Christ today. And have that of the gift of salvation, which is free. My name is Steve Willing, and I pastor Christ Fellowship Bible Church here in Marion Station. And if you would like to contact us with any questions or comments, please feel free to call 443-235-3618. You can drop us a note in the mail, 5910 Crisfield Highway, Marion Station, Maryland, 21838. You can also go to our website, which is cfbc413.org. That's cfbc413.org. And we've got our YouTube channel. We've got our Facebook page. We've got our podcast page, fireside.fm. We've got all those right there and a lot more information. So check us out right there. But may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. God bless.